be seated. Here a reading from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 17. Hear the word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, wait a minute. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you shall be circumcised when he is 8 days old, including the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money must be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present with us in the preaching of your word, that we may hear among these words and our own reflections your word offered for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever experienced the impossible becoming possible? I want you to put yourselves in the shoes of Abraham as he listened to God tell him about all these things he was going to give to him. He promised him numerous descendants, said he would make them the father of a great nation, said he would provide him with a great land. This is not the first time Abraham has heard such promises. His interest in those promises is what had given him the courage to leave his homeland, to set out not knowing where he was going. But that had been many years earlier, and none of those promises had come to fruition. They were living in a land where they were considered outsiders. And there was one major obstacle in the way of the promise even having a chance. He and Sarah had not been able to have one child. How could they be the father and mother of a multitude if they couldn't have one child. And now he was 99 years old. He was thinking more about the end of his life. He'd let go of those dreams of a family. Abraham would have every reason to laugh at God. "Are you kidding me? Why should I even listen to you? What you are talking about might have been possible when Sarah and I were young, but there's been a lot of water under the bridge now. It is way too late." We're told that the first thing Abraham did was fall on his face. Cameron Howard offers that in Hebrew times, falling on one's face was a posture of obedience or worshipfulness. He suggests it's as if Abraham's body knows what to do upon hearing this news, but his mind can't catch up. What do you mean? A child? For Abraham at 99, for Sarah at 90, impossible. Imagine what might have gone through Abraham's head. The conversation he pictured having with his buddies as they gathered at the local watering hole, most of them having lost most of their teeth and hair. "Hey, Sarah and I are going to have a child." Or think about Sarah, picturing herself at her weekly bridge game with her friends, where most of their conversation centers around their failing eyes and their aching hips and backs. Think about her bringing her bassinet into that circle. Impossible. They had to laugh. It was absurd. But it was God who got the last laugh as Sarah and Abraham welcomed this child into their lives. How appropriate that the child's name was Isaac, which means the one who laughs. Every time Abraham and Sarah looked at their son, held him in their arms, watched him grow, they had to have laughed. Remembering how nothing is impossible with God. Making the impossible possible seems to be how God likes to work. After all, that's what we celebrated last Sunday at Easter. It even seemed appropriate that it was also April Fool's Day, proclaiming a living, a victorious Savior, even after death on a cross and burial in a tomb. As we come to know God more and more, we discover God laughs at the impossible. As people of the resurrection, we believe in a God who is capable of doing more than we can ever ask or ever imagine. Last Sunday, that impossible possibility came in the challenge of believing that Jesus lives, even though he had been put to death on the cross, even though his body had been placed in a tomb, even though there was a heavy stone in front of it, even though there were guards to make sure there was no escape. Easter is about believing that against all odds, Jesus lives. That may be hard enough to believe, but today, it gets even more challenging. Today, we're asked to examine our hearts and our spirits and see if we're ready to believe that we can live even after we feel dead. That's what Abraham and Sarah had to do, and they had to laugh. Sarah laughed. "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And God's response, is anything too possible for God? Too hard for God? Ephesians 3:20 puts it this way. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do we really believe God can do the impossible? Or are we more likely to laugh at God when we think of God's plans? Would you laugh if I told you everyone here has a gift that needs to be shared? Would you laugh if I told you God's kingdom is greater than all nations, than every political party, than every disease, and even death itself? Would you laugh when someone says God has a plan for you? These are the questions that Abraham and Sarah's story challenge us with. Abraham and Sarah had a hard time believing God could do it. But God got the last laugh with the birth of their son. And Isaac's birth was the start of a family tree that goes all the way through to Jesus himself. The birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise that the whole world would be blessed through this family. What Abraham and Sarah laughed at, we celebrate every Christmas morning. What Abraham and Sarah laughed at, we proclaim at Easter. In fact, God probably laughs at us anytime we try to make plans without him. Sin's first trick in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve's mistaken belief that they were in control or needed to be in control. Sin's first trick was the first step they took outside of the boundaries that God had set for them for their benefit. Sin's first trick was pride and self-centeredness. And the problem with us going our own way instead of God's is that we limit God to what we can see, what we believe is possible, and what we can control. And that means we're going to miss out on a whole lot. That means we're not allowing God to make those impossible possibilities happen. A Sunday school teacher had all the kids in her class make a list of 10 things they didn't think they could do. She said they had to be things they had tried and failed at. So I just want you to think for a second, what would you put on that list? I would write that I can't ride my bike as fast as my husband David can ride his bike. That I can't really ski without falling down at least once. The teacher had the kids put all their lists in a box, and then they went outside and they dug a hole and they buried the box. And they gathered around that hole and they had a funeral for I can't. And the teacher explained that I can't no longer lived among them. She encouraged them if they heard anyone say those words, they should stop them and say, I can't has been buried. She also said, now I'll try and I'll do my best will take I can't's place. So what would it mean for us to take that same kind of step with our faith? To turn control of our lives and our possibilities over to God. To live as if we have the assurance of things hoped for. A confidence, even in the things we don't yet see. taking this step of faith means that our faith is not about what we can do on our own. It's about what we can do with the power of God among us. And we know. We've seen it all throughout the scriptures. Nothing is impossible with God. In fact, God seems to delight in surprises, in upsetting our best laid plans, in showing us things and leading us in directions we never would have been able to see on our own. Abraham and Sarah's story gives us the grace not to take our dead ends and our failures too seriously. Abraham and Sarah's story invites us to trust in God's divine imagination. Abraham and Sarah's story invites us to believe God is busy making a way even when there is no way. Abraham and Sarah's story is another Easter story, and it makes us look at how we deal with any parts of our own journey that might seem hopeless or might seem beyond possibility. Abraham and Sarah challenge us to join in the laughter of faith, laughter that believes even if it seems crazy, that new life can come out of death, that paths can be found where there's only walls, where windows can be opened when it's too dark to even see. So I challenge you this week to think about your own life in connection with Abraham and Sarah's story. What might God have planned for you? Maybe you only see dead ends or walls in front of you. But don't forget all that God can do. Let us pray. Almighty God, we want to believe in this impossible possibility that you can make life out of death. We want to believe it as we believe in Jesus, and we want to believe it for ourselves. So help our unbelief. Remind us of the miracles that you have already shown and that you bring to us every day. Help us to believe and step out with that kind of faith, trusting, being assured, in Jesus' name. Amen.